salam.
Alaikum salam.
Alaikum salam. Yes. So is this the way that we can be comfortable greeting anybody, or is the more formal, the longer one, necessary when we're traveling about and meeting other Muslims? What would be the right thing for us to do?
The greetings, the salam, is the shortest way of our greeting. It means peace. And saying the assalamu alaikum means peace upon you. So there are little longer versions, as I mentioned this morning. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh, meaning the peace, rahmah, mercy, and blessings upon you. So we stop there. So that's the longest one. But I think the salam, or the Hebrew version, shalom, I think that's great.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for your graciousness. We'll work on the longer versions. So you are an imam, and what we would understand as a cantor, and the correct word is...
Muazzin.
Muazzin.
Yeah.
I'm still not saying it right. Muazzin. Yes. I'm
learning. You're doing good.
Yes. But very much like how you opened us with a Muslim call to prayer, which would be something that, as you mentioned, you would hear at the different times of day, the five times a day that a Muslim would pray. And so in a Muslim-based country, you would hear it out in the community.
Correct.
Here, generally, in the mosque. Not
correct.
So much. You don't hear it so much
or
on the streets
in our
here.
Home.
Or in your home.
Yeah.
Okay.
In my home. And I want my kids listen to azan in the home as well.
Yes.
That's what I do.
Ah,
I live
nice.
In Martinez, by the way, as I mentioned.
You're our neighbor.
I have two kids. Yes, that's correct. I have two kids. Mina, she's 8 years old, and Bera is 4 years old.
Oh.
So I'm busy.
Yes, you are. And will they learn the adhan? Or must you be an imam to do the adhan?
No.
Okay. Or a muezzin.
Yeah, call to prayer, and you can do. It's a call to pray. Basically, the azan marks the starting of the prayer time. So in whenever times, and we do call to prayer, and people understand this is the time for pray.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. I noticed that there are a lot of versions of it now on YouTube, so we can listen to it in our own homes if you were moved by that. If we can't have Imam Fatih in our homes to start our time of prayer, which would be lovely, but probably not practical since you have two children. So tell us a little bit about you. How did you get inspired into Islamic leadership?
Well, so my name is Fatih Ateş, and I born in Turkey, and I came to United States for a grad school. My normally background is business, and but I trained as a traditional way back in Turkey, and also I engaged with a program in Claremont School of Theology when I was in LA. I attended the Muslim Leadership Program there, and I also in an organization called Pacifica Institute. It's a non-profit organization mostly founded by the American Muslim community. I am leading the interfaith efforts there. We have centers all over the California. I think the closest one here in Albany. I hope you can come one day and join us in one of our interfaith program. We normally planning to do, and we do every year, interfaith Ramadan dinners. Mm. But because of this virus issue, so we're thinking to maybe go to plan B.
lots of those going
which,
on.
Which might be maybe home iftars. We have a program actually, if you would like to meet a Muslim family to observe how they live in their home, welcome to do that. We have a program. I invite not all of you in the same time, but maybe... Maybe we can do something, work on.
Wonderful. And I think you brought some literature along for the Pacifica Institute. Is that
yes.
right? Out on the patio or in the foyer?
Well, yeah, I put somewhere else. But yeah, I think it is. It's there, right?
Yeah, yeah, it's on the connection table.
Table. And also, as I mentioned, I think the knowing a person, real person, it's really overcome to stereotypes if we have one, or a bigotry. And also... building bridges. You need to know someone, actually. I always encourage to people, and please meet as someone is not belong to your tribe.
Yes.
Right? So.
Yeah, the best way. So thank you so much for coming and, sure. and sharing yourself with us. I know I shared this in the first service too, that when Imam Fatih and I began to email about the possibility of him being involved in the service, I said, you know, we'd be happy to share an honorarium. And he said, oh, I don't need an honorarium. I just want your friendship. And that really moved me. And it's really true that it seems that you really walk that and embody this idea as the interfaith director, that it is about, it's about these building bridges, heart to heart, getting to know each other, understanding each other, finding that common place that we share, which you so beautifully did by sharing the reading from the Quran that talks about Mary, to create that kind of commonality and understanding, but also then to understand the authentic differences of our practices and to honor those and appreciate those. So you're bringing all of that to us, as well as Sierra Lynn today, and so we're really grateful for the experience that we're having to have you here in our place of worship. So I'd love to hear if you would be willing to share with us just sort of the basic tenets of Islam. Many of us maybe have heard before of the five pillars of Islam, which kind of define, I think, the basic ideas. So if you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit of that with us as well.
Sure. Well, again, the so important for me and personally, and as well as in Islamic literature and the Islamic theology, is the knowing the root of the word.
Yes.
And also, where is this coming from? In Islam, we have two main sources in the Holy Book of Quran. This is how we believe that God revealed the message through Gabriel to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in the 7th century in Arabian Peninsula. This is the religion. This is the last time God send a message through Gabriel to the humankind. But God speak all the time.
Yes.
And the important point is, are we speaking with God?
Yes.
Are we responding to his call? Mm. So the Islam is basically, and the salam has the same root of the word, which is peace. And also the Islam, the literature meaning is surrender to God. So when we combine this translation, I like this, actually the state of peace through following God's guidance, God's merciful guidance. Mm. In our tradition, and also the Sufi Islamic tradition, we say life is a long journey. Mm. You need a guidance. Mm. I think the God's guidance is the best available guidance in this journey.
Yes.
There are many guidance available, but this is the best one in my humble perspective. And also the guidance of mercy and the compassion. And so the followers of Islam is called Muslim. But at the same time as Muslim, actually, when we say Islam, we means God's religion. That's why I said continuation of the belief in one God. That's the Islam's primary message, actually. Mm. Continuation of the oneness of God. Mm.
It's, I think, one of the few, maybe with Buddhism, religions that actually is named for the intent of the religion. Mm. So the surrender to God, the commitment, and the peace that you spoke of is the intent that the root word means, and that's the name of the religion as well.
That's correct. Actually, the major dimensions of Islam, I should say, maybe is your faith, belief, and your good deeds and actions, and your good character. This is three main area and dimensions. And the third area, especially for us to being a perfect human being, in what we learn from the Holy Quran is God created us that capability, that potential. And our job is having that faith, having good faith, and having those struggle and the efforts to become a insan-ı kamil, what we say in the tasavvuf, in the Sufi tradition, it's perfect human being.
Mm-hmm.
Closeness to God. Purify your hearts, purify your mind, purify your words, and purify your actions to become a close God.
Mm-hmm. Very, we have a very similar principle in unity. Our second principle, you'll recognize the I am from when, you know, Moses is visiting with God, and God says, you know, or and Moses says, who should I say sent me? And God says, I am that I am.
Yes.
And so we carry that on as this idea of what you're talking about, I think. The potential, the perfection of humanity is that essence of divinity.
Correct. Again, this continuation is important. And also, when you say the five pillars of Islam is actually the practices around this faith.
Mm-hmm.
Believing one God, believing God's message and the messengers, and believing the afterlife. And then the beloved Rumi, his tomb is back in my country where I born, in Turkey, is he lives there still, because the afterlife for the Muslims is just the other portion of the life, right? It's not ending. It's actually other phase of the journey.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why he lives. That's what I said. So in this journey, we need that faith, we need that good deeds, and we need that good character.
Mm-hmm. And that's at the center, and then the five pillars are the practices around it.
Correct. Is uh-huh. the confession of the faith, and five times daily prayer, and fasting in Ramadan, and also giving charity, 2.5% of your excess wealth to share with the ones who for unfortunate ones, and taking care of the community, right? Mm. And the last one is the pilgrimage to Mecca, is if you are capable, is in health or wealth, if you are capable to do so. This practices helps you shape your faith and help you shape your the good character.
Mm, beautiful. And you've mentioned Muhammad. Did Islam start with Muhammad?
Islam started with Adam.
Okay.
that's how we believe, honestly.
Yes.
But the last time God sent the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and we were talking some of the wonderful people just out of the door. I was saying that Jesus, Moses, Adam, Abraham, Noah, Muhammad are spiritual brothers. Mm-hmm. This is a spiritual chain.
Yes.
And their followers should be the brothers and sisters as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm here today.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
So Muhammad is the, I think one of the, I should say maybe one understanding in Islamic thought is the divine, is the divine. I mean the one transcendent, all-knowing, all-merciful of God. That's the divine.
Mm-hmm.
And the Prophet Muhammad is the messenger, is a human, and he's a messenger of God, as all others. We don't think that the any humankind, that divineness belongs to the God.
Yes. Okay. So it's when you say the perfection of humanity, it's the potential of the human being, but not you wouldn't necessarily use the word divine in relationship to the human.
Well, it's when we listen our Sufi Muslim leaders, there is a different concept, or the wahdati wujud, meaning the oneness, and in somehow every creation we see that is reflections of the God's beautiful names and attributes.
Yes.
If you think in that way, yes.
Okay.
But we do not necessarily say that this is divine, that divine, I am divine. We say divine is only the Lord and
mm-hmm.
the God,
mm-hmm.
but every creation is somehow reflections of this God's beautiful names and attributes.
Mm, beautiful. Yeah, very nice.
Yeah, I'm not sure if this is too complicated, but
no,
that's what I can say.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
As you said earlier, you know, you're one person representing 1.5 million
billion
people. So, you know.
Yeah, there might be some difference of opinions.
Yes,
right?
But
one of my Jewish friends said, if there is a 3 Jewish in the room, so there might be at least 4 opinions.
Yeah.
So I think we are similar.
Yes, yes. We do our best to try to represent, right? So one of the concepts that is so important, I think, to clarify for us, because there are these, you know, heartbreaking stereotypes out there that to be a Muslim is to be a terrorist, or to, you know, I mean, I hate to even say that out loud because certainly something I don't hold, but I hear a lot, and you, unfortunately, I'm sure, and your brothers and sisters hear it way too often and feel the impact of that way too deeply. And so what can you help us understand where it gets so, where it goes wrong? Where do we go wrong in our understanding? How is it that we can separate what is true and good about the people and the religion from some of the terrorist activities that we see? And of course, it doesn't just belong in this realm. There's all kinds of groups that do this type of thing. But while we're on the topic, I'd like to sort of debunk some of that Islamophobia, if we can. Yeah.
I think we're in hard times in many ways, not only in our here and our country, and also around the world, and increasing, we observe the increasing ultra-nationalism, racist rhetorics we see against women or LGBTQ community and so on. I think, again, one is, what I say is people afraid the things they don't know.
Yeah.
It's so obvious. So that's why I encourage to people, please, please meet a person, you know, out of box, you know, in your, please get out and to meet with a, it's not easy though. It's not easy though. That's why as an institute, we try to have those platform to breaking a bread together. Food is important, right?
Yes.
So breaking a bread together, and learn from each other. Once we have that connection, that friendship, that safe zone, what I call, then we can talk about the differences or the some other issues that we might have questions. The second is violent is, I think, very complicated issue. And what we notice that is religions and the religious arguments are very useful tools to legitimizing political agenda.
Yeah.
The people who did a crime or violence or terrorism in the name of the Islam, they use the verses. They, you know, they pick some verses and they look at this and this and that. So this is how they legitimizing their actions. But majority and majority and majority of the Muslims and the Muslim scholars also against violence and extremism. And actually, as an institute, we hold many conferences, lectures, and educational programs for our youth or in general community to how do we overcome the extremism and extremist ideas. When we look at the history, it's not always the case for the Muslims committed the crime or the violence.
Oh, Muslims absolutely
didn't,
not.
I mean, Muslims didn't start the World War I,
yeah,
or the Second World War, or putting the 6 million Jews to the gas chambers.
Right.
And that's the violence. I mean, that's the terrorism. And also we are witnessing many in the Western countries and the Eastern and many other countries is this ultra-nationalism.
Yeah.
I think this is humankind problem. Yeah. Violence and extremism is the humankind problem. We need to address that together. That's why as an institute, as a person, I believe the interfaith dialogue is, that's why it's necessary.
Yeah.
To understand each other, having that safe zone, respect each other, and work together for the common good.
Yes.
That's why we have, for example, MLK Day of Services, Jews, Muslims, Hindus, we come together, clean up the schools and, you know, whatever the community needs. Or we do many dinners together, International Children's Festival, to giving the opportunity to our kids, to observe different culture, faiths, colors. I believe in personally and in our mission to see and having a salad bowl instead of the melting pot.
Yes.
Right? So we would like to have those colors. We would like to have those tastes together.
Yeah, and certainly I didn't mean to imply because, you know, the Christian history is probably far more violent and
I didn't mean that, of course, you know.
Well, no, but I mean, nobody has a corner on this. But unfortunately, there is a viewpoint that is misguided. And so that's why I was hoping to shed some light on it. And also this word that is often used, jihad, in Christianity would have been like the holy wars. And sometimes it's, you know, so can you help us understand what that word is about?
One of the very common mistake about the Islam and the Muslims, maybe some people think about it, Muslims hate infidels, disbelievers, okay? But actually, the Quran calls Christians and the Jews as Ahlul Kitab, the people of the book, people of the scripture, not disbelievers at all. Mm-hmm. So first, I would like to emphasize this. The Christians and the Jews, for the Muslims, in their eyes, is Ahlul Kitab. This is what their book says. You know?
We're all Abrahamic traditions.
Abrahamic tradition.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, specifically, they called people of the book. So it encourages us to engage, with, especially for these Abrahamic traditions. And also, as I mentioned, it's not hard to find the similarities at all, right? We have many, many similarities. But we have different practices, yes, and we can learn, we can grow together. So that's what I would like to point it out. And the second is, again, the jihad, the root of the word of the jihad, it goes to struggle. And mostly they refer to inner, internal struggle to become a perfect humankind. That's how we learn from our main sources. If you need to protect your country, if you need to protect your family, you will fight, obviously. That's the jihad or fight. It is necessary, if it is necessary, in certain levels. But the bigger jihad in the sayings of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is actually internal struggle. Jihad is the greater jihad, is the becoming a perfect humankind.
Mm. That's we are how all we understand in a jihad, then, in other words.
That's correct.
Yes.
That's correct.
Yes, yeah. It's so important what you said earlier about it so politicized, because that's really where a lot of the misinformation comes from, and unfortunately a lot of the violence. So it is this friendship that you are encouraging, that you are embodying, that you are doing through your work as an interfaith director, that is really making all the difference in the world. So what can we do other than, you have given us probably the most important one, to make a friend who is Muslim, to learn from one another. Is there anything else that we can do to be supporters to help kind of banish some of this misinformation?
Read. That's the first revelation of the Holy Quran is actually the Iqra, read. Read the Holy Book, read the universe, read yourself, read the community, what's going on. Mm. I think all these readings are important to awareness what's going on in your life, in community's life, and become aware the people who is in need, right? We take care of it. And that's why, for example, one of the practices we have and the one pillar of Islam is the fasting in Ramadan is actually the jihad, in inner struggle, right? And not even having a water down to dusk. It's not easy for a month, but especially it helps truly to understand the people who has no access to the water, which is millions and millions of people, to understand and encourages you doing empathy about them. Not having access in a certain time to food is helping you and realizing, wow, how many homeless people we have around here. something like that. You know, I think the reading is important, and also I can share with you some of the some books and articles, and about to learn about the basic Islam. And also, I think the most important in my 15 years humble experience in the interfaith work is the personal connection, having those personal connections. Once you have that connection, you will know what they need.
Yes.
And when they need.
Yes.
And I, it was one of this highest point in my entire life. It was actually people showed up after New Zealand attack to the mosque. Mm. That was a moment. I mean, it brought tears into my eyes to showing those friendship and sincereness to you are part of our society here.
Yes.
Many people come to our Friday service, and after we hold an interfaith vigil, many people, in just 1 or 2 days, many people, I mean, around our centers and everywhere, they were there. And we were there after, for example, a Pittsburgh shooting. Very unfortunate. But we were there for them, and they were there for us. Mm. So this is how it works.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And breaking a bread together, celebrate our the special holidays together, it is nice, and also to support each other in the time we need.
Thank you so much. Such beautiful takeaways for us to build this friendship and greater understanding.
Thank you for this hospitality.
Yes.
I mean, for many, honestly speaking, so it's in the record, right? So,
yes.
So honestly speaking, I can't imagine many mosques or the Islamic centers to invite a reverend or rabbi to address to the community in the Friday service. Thank you for your encourage.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you for, I mean, yeah. That's big.
You are welcome anytime.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you.